praise the Lord. Say whatever you want to say that makes you praise him. God is wonderful and he is worthy to be praised. I'm just going to start with prayer again because I don't want to get into myself. So I'll come closer to you. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you because this is the day that you have made. And as your word says, we should, and many of us are determined that we will rejoice and be glad in it. So, Lord, we just pray that in these next few moments that you will shine. You will get the glory out of your word that you have already put forth so that when we walk out of this place, we will not leave the same. If we're doing well, we will be encouraged to do better. If we are sick, we pray that we will leave healed. If we need deliverance, we pray that we will leave delivered. Lord, we pray that if we're sad, that you will put on us the spirit of joy. And if we're mourning, that you will turn our mourning into dancing. Lord, do what only you can do. I'm just a little vessel, a little mouthpiece for you. Take away the shyness. Take away all the thoughts that are rolling around in my head. And please have your way. Holy Spirit, have your way. The songs have been sung. You have gathered us together. We're looking for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Just use me. I'm willing today. Amen. If you know anything about me, I'm a person who seems like out of the box. They tried to fit me in a box. I was raised in a traditional church where things have to be done a certain way at a certain time. Though they give God his praise and glory, thank God for the Holy Spirit that would just overtake all of that. But I find my work is out of the box, out of the box kind of job and all of that. We have a lot of things we try to do. Ralph is going to give you just a few minutes of what is Ruby's Place, the update, as Pastor would call it. And then whatever he leaves out, I'll try to fill in. And then I'll go ahead with the sermon.
Good morning, everyone. Just a real quick update on what's going on at Ruby's Place. For those of you who don't know, Ruby's Place is a ministry that was founded by Patricia in 2006. It is an IRS-recognized 501c3 tax-exempt organization. And we exist for one reason: to give glory to God in the lowest places in Long Island. In 2006, the property at 85 Front Street, in 2006, in the beginning of 2006, in January, it was a crack house. It was boarded up. It was populated with homeless people who would do crack in the hallways and in the rooms and everything else. In October of that year, we purchased it. And now, it doesn't look the same as it did in January of 2006. All be glory to God. If we have not verbalized it before, if we have not come to you specifically and told you, if you haven't heard us say it before, thank you so much, Point Lookout Community Church. You have been our biggest supporters, because this job is not easy. If I had a choice beforehand, when I married my wife, I did not sign up for this. So it can get difficult sometimes. But when you see the graduation of the girls who leave the place, it's so worth it. It's so worth it. So just a quick synopsis. From the time that we opened up our doors until now, we've had over 50 young ladies come through the facilities. We have gotten them, believe it or not, the sheriff's wife drops them off sometimes. Social services drops them off sometimes, and we get other agencies who come to Ruby's Place and give us the women. It's one of the hardest jobs that I have ever been involved with. Now, actually, I got the easy part of the job. I'm just the guy that makes sure that all the laws are complied with, all the taxes are paid, we're doing right with the state, to make sure some woman's son is not kicking in the door to get to his mother, to make sure some drug addicts are not coming around and trying to sell to the women, to make sure that their ex-boyfriends are not coming to get revenge on them. That's my job. Pat has the harder job. Pat's job is sometimes she's there from 7 in the morning until 11 o'clock at night, and that doesn't sit so well with her husband because he has something to say about that. I said, babe, you can't leave at 7 o'clock in the morning. You can't get back at 11 o'clock at night. But this is what God has put on her heart, and this is what makes her happy. So if it makes her happy and is positive for what we're doing in God's work, then by all means, let's praise the Lord with it. One more thing real quick. Pat probably thought when she went to graduate school to get her master's in education, she was probably going to be an elementary school teacher. Then she went to New York Theological Seminary to get her master's in divinity, and she thought she was going to be an academic. And after she achieved all of that, God says, good, now that you've achieved all that other stuff, we're going to throw you into the ghetto, and then we're going to have you work with the women who really need not education, not high pomp and stance, but someone who loves them, can care to them, and can lead them to Christ. And that's, in a nutshell, guys, that's what Ruby's Place has been doing. So again, I want to thank you so much. As you see, we have a work day. Some of you are highly skilled. Me, I have no skills. I just sit around and look important and try to do what I can do. But some of you are highly skilled and you have brought your skills to Ruby's Place, and I thank you for it. Some of you have no skills and you have come saying, what can I do? I can move this, I can paint this, I can rub this and scrub this and clean. All of that is wonderful. Thank you so much. Some of you have given furniture and clothing to the women. Some of you have given monetarily. Some of you have just given up your time. And most importantly, you have not forgot us in your prayers. Please keep that up. Keep praying for us. We really need that. And that's what's going to help us to be strong in this work. Thank you so much.
I thank God for that man right there. Because, like he said, he didn't sign up for this. When you marry someone, you enter into a... there's a special word for it. Covenant. And you don't know what the future holds. But thank God, when you believe in God, you leave that to Him. You love the person, and God takes care of everything else. There's ups, there's downs. I just want to share something with you. I thought, oh, Ralph might be able to help a little bit in some way, but boy, as we began to do the work, he was needed more than I thought. There would be times I would just say, Ralph, you go. And I'm gonna just share something with you that happened recently. There's so much that God has done in our lives. You know, it's so much I could share with you and tell you, but I'll just share this. Recently, Jerron's teacher comes and he helps Jerron. Like, he used to help him three hours at each time, twice a week. So we had him 6 hours a week. And when we had him those hours, we could get a lot done. And some of the things that we would have my son Jerron doing is helping at the home, you know, doing small jobs, mostly outside. Because when Jerron comes inside, he likes to talk and let everybody know he's there and maybe wake them up if they're not, or kiss them or see them. And I say, Jerron, this is not a place you have to make noise. Just you come in quietly. You know, I'll say hello, whatever, and that I have you with me. Well, this one particular day, we went there recently, and we just happened to be sweeping up, you know, in the driveway. And Jerron and I kind of veered over a little bit towards the garage, and there's like an area that could look like an alleyway there. I didn't realize it was that big. And I'm sweeping, and I said to Jerron, come over here. You come with the dustpan, the big dustpan, and I'll sweep into the dustpan. That's his job, what we do. And as we're doing that, I sometimes don't want to stop. And I got to go a little further. Leave it to some of us for adventure, right? God has put that spirit in us. And I'm going a little further, and I look, and I see a person in that little space there between the garage and the little fence there, and they're sleeping on a bed, a metal bed. And then there's another cushion, like what you're sitting on, a larger one, like the size of a twin bed, there in that alleyway. And I go, and you know, Jerron's just talking and talking. And I'm like, and he looks at me like, what's the matter? And he be's very quiet, very quick. And I say to his teacher, there's a man. He's sleeping right there. I said, let's not wake him. I say, let's move away. So we move away and we continue doing our work at the other parts of the yard there. And I call Ralph. See? I call him. And I say, let me call Ralph. He'll know what to do. I call him, and I'm telling you, Ralph got there from Queens to Hempstead. It seemed like in less than 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Next thing I know, he was there. Ralph goes up to the man, and he goes into that little alleyway, and he speaks to him. I don't know what he says because it's a good distance there. And next thing I know, the man takes up that bed and walks away. And then later, I heard something in my car, a scripture a man was preaching, and he was saying, you know, if you see people who are out, you should help them. And not just say, go on your way, but give them something. And I said, oh, gee. I said, God, we still have so much to learn, because I don't think Ralph gave him anything. I know he spoke to him nicely, and Ralph just said to me, well, you know what? He was just hard on his life. His life has not been easy. He's having a hard time. And I just told him he can't sleep here, but he has to go on. And that was it. And I said, oh. So I thought we didn't give him anything. And later that night, we happened to be talking, and Ralph says to me, I sent him on his way, and I gave him some money. I said, thank you, Lord. He completed the mission there. You know, to tell a man, hey, you're sleeping here, get up, go, is one thing. But then to send him on his way with nothing? Come on. So thank God for that. You never know what you're going to have to do. You just never, never know. But I tell you, it's a wonderful work. I love it. I get most excited going there. And like, we love, love, love you guys for all that you have done. And please, nobody here that I know well to, don't let the enemy tell you, oh, you could have done this. No. You know what? Whatever you wanted to do, consider it done. Just consider it done. And you know what? If God gives you tomorrow or the next day or the next day, there's always that opportunity. God is good. And we love you for all that you've done. You know what? It's so easy to look over notes, to pray over them, but so hard to get it out. You think you're going to get it out. But I'm trusting God to help me to do this. Ralph, you ready? Where is he? With the flashes? Okay. We are going to be very sensitive to the time because of the world that we live in. If we didn't live in this society, we could stay here all day and have a wonderful time praising God, go out, get something to eat, come back, whatever. But we have to be considerate of that. So I wanted to try to give each little area time, enough time, And that is Bible, straightforward testimony. Okay? I wanted to give time to that. And let me just throw out these words to you before I even go into where the scripture is going to come from. God started to talk to me when I knew he would have to use me today. And before I say anything more, I just want to thank God for our pastor, who is a wonderful shepherd. I wish, knowing many pastors, I wish that every single one of them was like Pastor Greg. And I'm not saying that because it's a nice thing to say, but it is the truth. It is the truth. A wonderful person, so down to earth, and who doesn't come off like he's so perfect. And then he's so blessed to have a wife who, in my thinking, when I think of her, I think of her as a woman of prayer. With a match like that, we have a blessing. A wonderful blessing. The scripture that I'm coming from that God gave me to look at is coming from the book of St. John, the 10th chapter. And I'm just going to go to the 10th verse. I got to take these glasses off. I can see everything here clearly. It's just I have to see you. Okay. St. John, the 10th chapter. I'll read from verse 1 to verse 10. Let me, and this version is the message. It's a very clear version. Let me set this before you as plainly as I can. If a person climbs over or through the fence of a sheep pen instead of going through the gate, you know he's up to no good. A sheep rustler. The shepherd walks right up to the gate. The gatekeeper opens the gate to him, and the sheep recognize his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he gets them all out, he leads them and they follow because they are familiar with his voice. They won't follow a stranger's voice, but will scatter because they aren't used to the sound of it. Jesus told this simple story, but they had no idea what he was talking about. And I'll tell you who the they were later. So he tried it again. Sometimes you tell people things, you have to say it again. I'll be explicit then, he says. I am the gate for the sheep. All those others are up to no good. Sheep stealers, every one of them. But the sheep didn't listen to them. I am the gate. Anyone who goes through me will be cared for. Will freely go in and out and find pasture. A thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Amen. Now, I'm going to go straight to the notes because I could just zoom from there. I could fly on that. Who were these people who had no idea about what Jesus was talking about? The Pharisees. They were the Jews also, religious Jews, with the idea that they were the pastors of the church. And Jesus was the intruder and an imposter. Therefore, the flock was obligated by duty, they thought, to stick to them against Christ. Not all of them were corrupted in this way. We meet people in the Bible like Nicodemus, remember, who came to Jesus by night, and Gamaliel. They had a conceit of their own knowledge. This was the Pharisees. They were what I would call know-it-alls. Yet, they didn't even have enough sense to understand the simple things that Jesus spoke about. To oppose this is what Christ is dealing with. Christ describes who the false shepherds were and who the true ones are, leaving them, the Pharisees, to figure out who they were. Okay, there were sheep stealers. Now, I knew God was up to something when he sent my family to Lima, New York. That's where we are ordained that group from. Elam is in Lima. Wonderful organization. They have a lot of conferences and different things. Wonderful. I went there for the first time for a conference, and I took a young lady with me. She's a poet. I love poetry. We don't get to talk a lot, so I said, she would be good. She doesn't have small kids. She should be able to come with me. She takes care of little babies, though. That's her job with mothers. She helps them to acclimate. She's not a midwife. Not the one who delivers the baby, but the person who, there's a name, I forget it, who helps the mother after she comes home with the baby. And I took her. She doesn't drive. 6 hours there and back. We got there fine. We asked the hotel for directions coming back. We got so turned around coming back. Ralph said, next time you take somebody who drives. He's the practical. So we had a wonderful time, though. Perhaps God knew we needed more time coming back to talk. That's we don't get a chance to do. So he sent me there. And when I went there, I didn't know what to expect. I knew it would be like country type place. But there were sheep and cows and different things as you go on the way and fields, vast fields. And then the part where we stayed in Rochester, which is like right next to Lima, it's a town. You thought you were in Garden City. Everything is there. Coldstone, Marshalls, you know, everything. And I'm like, because I like to shop. And I was like, oh, my family would love to come here. They even have Nashon's favorite ice cream place where he can't have milk, dairy. So I said, oh, they would love to come here too. We could have fun. I see a bookstore. I see Barnes & Noble's. Ralph could go read. Mommy and I could shop. The kids could eat ice cream. We could have fun. Well, when we got there, I got there. I had a wonderful time. I wasn't able to attend a lot of things because this woman had to get back to work. So I attended two events. Wonderful. One was a marriage class. Wonderful. That's where Pastor Greg and Tina and a couple other people who are members here are today. And we pray that God is blessing them in that venue that they're at. And the other class, the other thing I went to was a sermon. And when we got there, I was very tired. And I looked at the schedule. I said, let me look at this schedule and see if I could get to the hall for the first session, what they're going to do. I looked. It was like 30 minutes to getting there. And I said, I can make it. I looked, I ran in the restroom, came out with one pair of clothing, which I love sneakers and those kind of stuff I had, in and out, and I'm dressed. And the girl said, wow, how did you do that? I said, God, zoomed out the door. I had the directions to where I had to go, 25 minutes away, zoomed there, got there, no problem. And this guy preached, you hear me? Woo! He preached like wonderful. I was like, wow, I would have missed this. And then I said, my family's got to come back here. Where's Jerron? So we went, and when, you see what I mean? He's not shy. And when we went there, we took the kids. I had to take them to a farm. I figured it's nice for them to connect with animals. So what did we see at that farm?
Oh, Okay, so we saw cows, and we saw chickens, and we saw goats and sheep.
Yes, yes. And the sheep, of all the animals we saw, I was inclined to touch the wool of the sheep because it looked so thick. And the person who was tending them said, you know, the wool is thick now, we're going to have to cut it, but right now it's just very, very thick. Well, I should have known that God was up to something, taking us there. And now he brings this message to me. There are sheep stealers, God warns us about through Christ, that climb over or through the fence. They come to steal the hearts and affections from Christ and his pastures. They come to kill spiritually, to destroy spiritually the hopes, the dreams, and the visions that God has put in his people. They come, these sheep stealers, to scatter the sheep. They want them to be running all over the place, everywhere, like they don't know where they're going or what to do. But guess what? Even though that was the plan, not of God, that the sheep stealers would do this, there are some sheep that would listen to God. And what does he say? Jesus, I am the good shepherd. I am the gate for the sheep. For those of us who don't understand how he's so good, he is the gate. The good shepherd puts the sheep before himself. He sacrifices himself. The good shepherd was loved by his father. Was loved by his father so much that his father commissioned him to lay down his life for the sheep. Now, like good parents who tell their children to do something, it may seem rough to you. You don't want to listen to them. What are they talking about? They're old-fashioned. I don't want to do what they're saying. Let me tell you, when you have good parents, like Jesus is the good shepherd, do what they say, because they have been there before you. As there's an expression, been there, done that. They know the way. How do you think they got to this point? They didn't just get zapped here. Jesus performs miracles. He gives sight to the blind. He comes to do good. He knows that sheep need care. And in one of the commentaries I read, it was interesting, they said, in return, they service men by being clothing and food for men. So that was interesting. They can give something back. By Christ, we have admission free into the flock of God. And we have it because Christ did something very precious to make sure we would have that opportunity to get into the flock of God free of charge. By Christ, God comes to his church. He visits it and communicates with it, and sheep are admitted to the heavenly kingdom. People get excited today about the phones, the cell phone. We can't leave the house if we don't have our phone. You know what? We have to think more about our communication with God, because he loves to talk to us. Loves. Oh, my goodness. The only thing is, sometimes people can be like sheep. They are all over the place, and they don't want to stay and listen to what the shepherd is trying to say. They're doing this and doing that. Everything, even in the house, they don't sit. He wants to communicate with us. Good men are compared to sheep who depend on their creator and call the sheep of his pasture. That's what we are called. The church of God in the world is also known as the sheepfold. into which the children of God who were scattered, we were scattered. We could be at the beach and sleeping and doing a host of other things. We are now gathered together for God's purposes. The modern shepherd presents a blurred picture, though. You let man get his hands into something where he doesn't listen to God, and boy, he could make a mess of anything nice. You know, let me read this. The modern shepherd presents a blurred picture. In New Zealand, the sheep outnumber the human population, so that's a lot of sheep. They are a white dust on the rolling green of Southland, as far as the eye can see. Hardier breeds crop the mountain grasses far up the southern Alps, but none of them knows its shepherd, nor is known to him by name. They have dogs who are trained to obey a whistle that herd and gather the sheep. Mounted men drive the large massed flocks to market. Patiently, the sheep stand in two decked railway wagons drawn in long ramps to the killing place. The picture here is of humanity. If we could put it into those words, it would be the proletarian multitude of some dictator-ridden land. You see how things could be different when God is not the main focus of it? Instead of the sheep being in the fold, being cared for nicely, they're pushed around, they don't know their shepherd, they're like all over. They're not happy, put it that way. The gatekeeper in our scripture here opens the gate. I like that. I came to give the sheep, the flock, real and eternal life, Jesus says, a more and better life than they could have ever dreamed of. Jesus came to put life into the flock. That's one of the things I love about Christ. The church in general, which seemed like a valley of dry bones, then a pasture covered with flocks, Jesus comes to give put something onto that. Instead of dry, water it. Give it water. You see, when we don't have a lot of rain, how the grass gets so dry. Some people complain. I'm so happy when it rains. I'm like, God, let it rain. We need the water. We need the water. So everything can be flourishing and green and growing and doing well. God will give you, through Christ, a life more than can be expected or that you could even ask for or think of or deserve. You, through Christ, can have a life with advantage. Isn't that good? You could be living this life, like we all, but you have advantages. And I have a thousand little things I could put in there to interject to give you an example. Let me give you an example. All right. For my lovely Italian friends and brothers and sisters, I just discovered gelato. It's always been there, I'm sure, but I never really came across it too much. I heard of it, but never had it. So I was at a gas station, and I saw in this little ice cream box gelato. I says, okay, maybe one day. Then I go to a store to replace screens for the Ruby's house. I had to go there twice because I left two screens at the house that I was supposed to bring. All right, so I went there twice. And I discover this bakery next to the screen replacing place. So I go in and I look around. They have bread and cookies and all those nice Italian things. And I see gelato again, and I go, it's a hot day, I'm gonna try it. So I ask, they give me, and it tastes so nice. It's a I say it's like in between the taste of ice cream and ices. But I said yesterday when I went back again to pick up something, the screens, I said to the lady, I wanted to get it straight. And she says, no, it's not ices. And I said, she said, it has no ice in it. I said, okay, it has cream. She said, that's it, it has cream. I said, but a light cream. She said, that's it, a light cream. So there I was with the family getting that gelato. I asked everybody in the car, what do you want, what do you want, what do you want? And they told me, and it's so funny. I said to the woman inside, I said, I didn't feel I was waiting long, but she said to me at the end of the purchase, I'm so sorry, you had to wait a few minutes. I says, oh, it's okay. We didn't have anywhere special to go. So I said, it's okay. She said, I said, my kids are just in the car with my mom. And she goes, kids? She says, oh, I'll give you some cookies for them. So she gives me some cookies, and I said, God, you're just something else. Because I had already bought a big cookie for Jerron and another bread, a piece of bread for Nashon. But do you see how God does the advantage? Do you see? And if you think that's something, it keeps happening in other ways. He does things, you know, for us. It will come up, as I remember. It will come up. Let me give you another one, talking about food. Then we get off of food. I was attending a beauty parlor. I had to change my stylist. That was God. Went to another one. The lady was charging too much, double the normal price. So I tried to work with her, you know, because I thought she was treating my hair good. She knew what she was doing. She spoke like she did anyway. And she was a Jehovah's Witness. So I said, I think I was probably sent there for me to talk to her, right? And then you see where they think and all that. So I stayed as long as I could, but the prices were just getting so ridiculous. God said, it's time to go. Get out of here. You got to go somewhere else. So I went back to my original lady in Hempstead on Front Street. That woman, she's a lovely person, good heart. I came there one day after doing many things, you know, with my family, and I realized when I got to her, I said, I need to do something to my hair. I hadn't eaten lunch. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so hungry, but this is important too. You know, fasting is good, and I don't have to eat. And so you know what happened? She's doing her little thing, and I said to her, I says, Nydia, can I go? I want to go next door to the restaurant and just get a little something because I'm hungry. She says, you're hungry? Wait, look, look. She comes out of the back with a little Tupperware thing, shows me her sister made rice and beans and liver. I haven't eaten liver in years. My parents used to give me liver. Liver is good for us. And I forget about it, you know? And she comes out with this thing and says, you can have, I can't eat all of this. I can't, come eat, eat. So I says, oh, you know, I hate to take some of the woman's food, but I say, you know what, take it. The spirit says to me, take it. They give you, you take it, be nice. So I take it and I eat. The liver was hard, it's hard to eat when you haven't eaten it for a while. It's not some of the most best thing you would like to eat, but I needed that liver. And I ate it, and I was full, and I thanked her. But do you see how this life we live with advantage? God's shepherds, like Pastor Greg, are also called ministers. Ministers are called under-shepherds. They're right underneath the good shepherd. And their job is to feed the flocks, the souls, with God's word. And the ministers, it's good, and you feel good as sheep when they know you by your name. That amazes me, that when the pastor calls your name or knows your name. There's a guy named John Milton. He says a pastor is also one who feeds. Isn't that beautiful? The most unpastoral, I'm giving you the flip side now, character is that of one instead of feeding, wishes to be fed. Okay? So when we, my family, came here, we joined in 2000, Ralph, we knew we were at the right place because this man was so busy feeding, he didn't want to be fed. Not only that, but our shepherds pray for the flock. Jesus prays for us. We have scriptures about that. But how much do we pray for the shepherds and pray to the shepherd, the good shepherd? I don't know about you, but his sheep know his voice. That's what his word says. Christ says, behold, he stands at that door and knocks, and if any man hears his voice, he will come into him and he will sup with him. No wonder we're always eating. Because it's a fellowship with Christ. Life is a party. One of the women in the home, the Ruby's house, she told me, life is a party. I said, I like that. I like it, I like it, I like it. And she was a prostitute formerly. And when I met her, I said to her, I love you, because I always wanted to meet somebody like you to find out why you do what you do. And then to see where we can go from there, you know? And that woman turned out to be such a blessing that when we did a lesson one time on the mustard seed, hallelujah, all I tell them you need is a little bit of faith, as the Bible said, as a grain of mustard seed. Some of us who used to do bad things, we know marijuana in its purest form has a little seed. It's like that. It's tiny, smaller than an apple seed, very small. And praise God, when this woman, who I told you what she did, heard the message, you know what she did? I had given them all a mustard seed. I thought it would be nice so they could see you only need just a little bit of faith. You know what she did? Before anything, she swallowed the seed. I said to her, good, very good. Now you have faith. If you're not sure if you have it, it's in there. Sheep have a discerning ear who want to hear the shepherd. They want to hear. They will run to where they hear his voice. They also want to please the shepherd. You know? They have that desire inside of them. Sheep of Christ are observant of their shepherd. They're very cautious. Spiritual and heavenly could by no means approve of the traditions of the elders, nor relish their formalities. When you believe in God, it goes beyond tradition and formality. Yep. You know, sometimes you have to break with tradition. Jesus did it, and they got mad at him. Very mad. How dare you heal on the Sabbath? And da, 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 da. And Jesus say, the person is sick. We need to help them. What do you mean heal on the Sabbath? What is more important, the man get healed or what day we do it? Come on. Leave it to man, I tell you, with his nonsensical thinking to screw everything up. This is him. He needs God, and whether he knows it or not. He calls his own, I like this, by name. He leads them out. They follow him because they are familiar with his voice. Sheep are cared for. They are safe. They are nourished. Some of you know the artist Toby Mac, and he sings a song. I wish I could sing so bad, but God gave it to Joel and other people because it's for them. You have to do what you have to do. There's a song that Toby Mac sings called Me Without You. And I hope I find everything I need here. I have tons of papers. He has a line in there that says, I be packing my bags when I need to stay. I be chasing every breeze that blows my way. I'd be building my kingdom just to watch it fade away. So true, that's me without you. And then he says, I don't know where I would be without you, but you rescued me. Now I am yours, you are mine forever. I am yours forever. You saved me. You remade me. Where would I be without you? And that is the truth. There's a longing that God puts in us for himself that only can be satisfied by a relationship of knowing the Good Shepherd, Jesus. We try to fill it with a lot of different things. I don't have to name your stuff. You know what you do. Leave it. I'm not going to do it. You know what it is. It's anything that God says no and you say, but I want to. I like that, all of that stuff. That's it. He can turn that around. After a while, the sheep will no longer follow the stranger's voice. And you know what they learn to do? Run. Run, run, run. Even if the sheep that the shepherd appears to be a right thing comes in the clothing that looks good, they will know the difference. You will learn the voice. When you communicate with God, he will tell you at times when to get out of there or stay or whatever. Let's see. Okay. I love music. That gives just does me all the good. There's another artist. Some of us think he's, you know, his name is Kirk Franklin. See, he laughs. Because he is so radical. He doesn't care what you think. He's going to do what God tells him to do. And as much as we get angry at some people because we see them doing what they think they're supposed to do, guess what? Sometimes the judgment you judge is what you need to be dealing with yourself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I can get terribly shy. I mean, terribly, terribly. And God is telling me, stop it. Don't do that. You don't have to be shy. When you were little, I put within you a not shyness. And if you forgot, your children will remind you. Yes, my son, you know him if you know him. He's on the spectrum, and when we go about and we take him everywhere, my heart is in my hand. Because you don't know what he's going to say. You don't know what he's going to do. You have to be praying a lot and saying, God, help me to know what to do. When this happens, that happens. But Kirk Franklin has a wonderful song called A God Like You. Everybody wants to be like you. They want power and praise like you. But see, there is no God like our God. There's no one like you who gave their life like you and who paid our price. Remember I told you he paid the price with his blood on that cross like you. See, there's only one God. That's our God. There's no one like you. Who can touch like you or heal us like you do? We stumble and we stray sometimes. Still, you always get us through. Who makes all things new in our lives and comes to rescue us? Death, hell, and the grave could not conquer you. Amen. You became just like me to unlock and set me free. This prisoner that I was, deeply wounded, and you redeemed me. The me, I like this part, that I could not see. You can't see what God has for you. But because he's good and he's loving and he's kind and he has the best in store for you, he sees you so different. And you know what? You can get a little hint of what that is, because whatever the enemy is telling you constantly that makes you feel bad, you got to flip it to the other side. Because will God tell you bad things about yourself? No way. So if he says you're poor, you're rich. If he says you're sick, you're well. If he says you can't do it, you can. If he says you're too shy for that, no, you're not. You better get up there and do it. If he says you're not going to figure out that route, oh, yes, you will. You'll get there in record time. And let me share with you something. Look at God, how he puts all things together in our lives. We get the calls every year from the bus drivers. And they tell us, you know, who's going to come. I get a call from Pat Norum, my good friend. Here, she goes to the church. And who's the driver for Nashawn, my youngest one? Pat! I said, isn't that cool? You see how God does things? You never know what he's going to do. Ralph, I never saw the flashes. What time is it? What? I have time? Yes? Okay, I'm looking. Very good. He's supposed to flash me every 10 minutes, I told him. Every 15 minutes. I never saw one flash. I thought of having a red flag and letting the kids put it up, but we didn't get a chance to do that. The song says, everybody wants to be like you. They want power and praise like you, but see, there is no God like our God. There's no one like you who gave your life like you did, who paid our price like you. See, there's no one like our God. There's no one like you. Some may worship things, but what joy do they bring? They try and hide the stains, but can they set us free? See, where will we be without Calvary, a king upon a tree, so the whole world could see him? You became just like me to unlock and set me free. The prisoner that I was, deeply wounded and redeemed, the me I could not see. And I want to interject here. I'm watching the clock. So those 12 o'clock ones who, you know, God tells you, get out at 12, I got you. He got you. We had always tried to get away every year because you work, you need to get away, you know. And I started losing keys, misplacing papers, different things. And I said, Ralph, we got to go. I can't do anything right. I need to go. So he's like, okay. The Kohlbergs, God moved on their hearts, and they decided to come to the house, the Ruby's house, to work. George fixing outside this thing that's coming loose, digging up plants, you know, cutting this and pulling that. And they came and they did it, and it was hot. The weather was so hot. And by them doing that, it excited us so much that we didn't want to go away now. We said, we could delay it. I said, I need to get this done. I want to do that. So we started, kept working. And then, thank God, the kids had their little summer things that happened with the school. And then I said, Ralph, we got to go away before they go back to school. Time is going to be up. So he says, okay. I said, so we're going to go, you know, to Lima. Yes. So we make reservations. I was thinking we were going to stay at the same hotel. You never know what God is going to do. So I called them, and because I told you before my stay was so short, I didn't know if they had a pool. I didn't know if they had a fitness room and all those nice things you like to do sometimes when you go away. So when I called, they didn't have everything. So I called around here and there, and finally I got one place. And the lady says, oh, okay, we got no problem. We can do it. Everything you wanted, the pool, the this, the that, we have it. I said, great. And I said, so what room are we going to stay? We need two rooms because we need, my mom comes with us too. We have kids, everything. She said, guess where I'm going to put you? I said, where? She said, the king's suite. I said, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, it has to cost more. No, it costs less. Because it's really one big space, like a loft, but it has the door, the bedroom is closed, two TVs. You know, these people in my house, they like TV. So everyone doesn't watch the same thing. And God is good, let me tell you. We stayed in the king's suite. And when I was praying in this church. Remember I told you I came here 2006? Yes, we started Rubies. Right over here, there was a lady, her name is Ethel Chehalis. Jimmy Chehalis' mom, Kathy and Jimmy. I confessed to her one day. I said, you know what, I'm really praying that God would show me what he wants me to do. You know, I was teaching for years. Then I came out of teaching to help my kids, you know, on the spectrum. I cleaned the house as much as I could clean it. Now it could use some more. And organizing, never finished, seems like, but I have hope. And I said, you know what? I want to do something directly in ministry like that for God, helping people, something like that, in this certain way that he wants. And she said, you know what? She said, I'm praying that God will give you a job that you've been preparing your whole life for. That's what she said. And I said, gee, what could that be? I don't know what it is. I like cooking. Sometimes I would be cooking for my family and I would be saying, ooh, I wish I could make a big pan of this and take it somewhere and give it to somebody. When I was out in the world, being a bad girl, sophomore, I'm not going to say too much, my mother's here. she doesn't like to hear that. And I would do little things and organize things, color coordinate, and my friend says, oh God, as bad as I was trying to be, you're such a little mother. You're like a little mommy, you know? See? We have some women who feel like a motherless child. Some of them didn't have a close relationship with their moms. And I like to iron. That's one of my favorite things to do. I love going to the post office. Even my son now is turned on to it. Post office. Where you going? We're going to the post office. I had to explain to him, is a difference between ordering online and the connection between the post office. Because every time he would see a post truck, he thinks, we have to get to the post office and the postman is going to come. He's going to deliver. I said, Jerron, no. We order the tape, then somebody brings it. Sometimes it's UPS. Sometimes it's the U.S. Postal Service. And he's turned on to that now. Love, thought I would never need Home Depot when we moved to Hempstead. No, what do we need Home Depot? You know, that's for construction people, carpentry people, plumbers, those guys. I know them now by name, the staff. I come in, hi, how are you? Hello, I look for them. The key lady, this one, that one. Bringing food to the man who makes the keys. I told him I like to cook. He said, bring me something. You know, back to the King's Suite. Get to the King's Suite. Gotta look the room over, because that's a part of my gifting and my way I'm wired, as Pastor Greg would say. And I go, oh my gosh. And they go, what? I said, look at that curtain between the door. It's a door, but it has this little bar there, you know, the rod and the curtain. And I'm like, the curtain's not iron. And I iron everybody's clothes. And then I put the ironing board away because I'm trying to be good because I'm on vacation, right? And guess what? I couldn't stand it. I had to iron that curtain. Ralph says, what are you doing? My mother says, you know what she's doing. She can't stand it. Whatever is in you that you are, the essence of yourself, that's a clue of what God will use you to do. The work has already been done. The Father sent the Son. He walked the earth. He did all the great things, the miracles, the healings, everything. Now it's our turn. It's our turn. I don't know about you, but I love testimonies. A woman took me to a banquet. Eating again, we Christians. Took me to a banquet, but the banquet, it was called From Crime to Christ. The people would give their testimonies. And when I heard those testimonies, my heart, it melted my heart. I was so happy. I said, wow, God, I didn't know you could do those kind of things, gee, I really have a lot to learn, to experience. This is wonderful. Never knew what was coming for me. Ralph and I would go on vacation when we had no kids. We'd drive in through a little town, and I would see a cute little house, kind of bigger than the average family home. And I would think, oh, that would be a nice place for people to live who don't have a place to live. You see, he had me looking. Then he kept doing it. I kept looking around, and then there were thoughts I would have that would come to me. You can't do this. Who do you think you are? You don't even have money to buy a house like that for somebody else. You're barely keeping up your own mortgage. What are you going to do for somebody else? And God would come to me and say, I will provide. I am the shepherd. Amen. He would say to me, all that you need is in me. Let me tell you, everything I would think of worrying about, he would supply it. I would get a call. Somebody would say, you know what? I know you're thinking about this. Don't worry. I'm going to help you with that. I'm like, what? I said, wow, he's really something. And when I can walk up to that house and see what God has done, I know there has to be a God. Because I couldn't do it. And I'm telling you something, oh my God. I and you Christians, we are so different from the Pharisees. Tell me if I'm right. The more you get closer to God, the more you give of yourself and say, I surrender, you got to do it, God. Guess what happens? You feel like you don't know nothing. Because you empty yourself. You learn to empty yourself. Sometimes I come up on a situation. I had a young girl not long ago. And I just knew when I spoke to her exactly what I'm going to say. I rehearsed the words and everything. When I got to her, when I looked in her eyes, when I saw her, I couldn't say none of that. My mouth was like, me who likes to talk. He was like, shush, just listen to her, shh. And I listened to her, and I couldn't say it. And you know what I said to her? I love you. That's it. That's all I could say. I love you. And it broke my heart to see her condition, the way she was going and all, but we never stopped praying for her. And I'm going to put her name out there, Raquel. Please pray for Raquel. Raquel. All right, I'm doing good. I used to be so shy that I would have my little lesson put together and when it was done, finish, because I know the time. But now I'm growing so much. I can feel it expanding. When we went on that trip, you remember I told you I used to love to shop? I like shopping. For things, different things, for other people, for myself. Guess what? One of the days, Ralph says to me, okay, tomorrow we're going to go out, you know, to where the stores are, and you could shop. And I'm like, I don't want to shop. I didn't have it in me. I'm like, I really don't, there's nothing that I really need. It would be maybe one more. I don't really need anything. And I said, God, you're really working on me. Me, who like to, I could do damage in Marshalls and these other ones. I said, I can't even believe I'm saying this. This is like crazy. And what was on my mind, I didn't remember it at first. Ralph went and got something at some place he wanted to look at. But we saw a Goodwill store. And I went, oh, wow, wait. I said, I want to go there. So I thought about one of the women, her name is Judy, who had left the house, you know, did well, was able to get her own apartment, and she needed a picture for over her couch. God furnished almost her whole apartment through his people, this church, you. And she needed this picture. I couldn't find this picture. I've looked everywhere for this picture, couldn't find it. I said, God, why didn't I even think of Goodwill? Goodwill. So I go in there with my mom. Not only do we see one picture, more than one we could choose from. I said, this one would be perfect. I was so happy to bring that picture back to her. That was like all the clothes I could ever buy for myself. That was it. That was it. Hallelujah. And you know what? If you forget, God will talk to you and remind you of something. We went to Philadelphia for one day. And when we went there, I kind of forgot about the school shopping for the kids. And when you have sons and growing children, they grow. Before you know it, this don't fit anymore. And I said, okay, we'll go here. Ralph, you go that way. You want to look at something. We get to the main town street. I see people. But God was showing me the problems of the people. And I was like, oh, God, I see the drugs. I see this. I see that. You know, what's going on? I said, there's drug going on here. You could see it. You see how they're nodding and different things. And I start praying inside for the people. We go into Burlington. They have it there. And we were able to pick up all the little stuff the boys needed to carry them over. And I was like, you see, you don't worry. What are we worried for? Why? God has cared for us, already done it. As they would say, it is sealed. He finished the work. All we have to do now, walk. Just walk in the Spirit. That's it. Walk in the Spirit. Live like Holy Spirit. Live life, as Eleanor would say, a party. Oh, life is a party. That's it. That's how it is. That's what we have to get. Other things in your mind, the enemy, people will try to tell you, oh, no, you got to do this, do this, do this. No. You get into trouble, you know what you have to do? You can't remember nothing. Just say, Jesus. Call his name. That name has power, power, power. Call that name Jesus. I know you're the good shepherd. I know you've made a way for me. I know you're the gate. I'm opening the door and I'm letting you come in. I'm your sheep. Come show me. Come talk to me. Let me know your voice so I can know which way I have to go. And he will show you. He will show you. We have some time now. Yep. 5 minutes. Told you I was out of the box. And if anybody here, I don't know your situation, and I don't have to know. I probably couldn't remember everything, you know. But if you need to come to the altar, don't be shy. Please, don't, you know. Nobody is looking at you. You're thinking that the devil is saying, they're going to look at you, and they're going to say this. So what? Come. And I'm praying that people in the church who know the Lord, who love the Lord too, you come, and guess what? They wouldn't feel like they're up there by themselves, and certain ones wouldn't be able to pick out who from who. So some of us come to pray for others who come, and we can come here, we can lay down that package that's so heavy, and let God release you. Joel said it earlier too. Release you anything that would worry you. We don't have no worries. As Shambach, this man long ago used to preach, R.W. Shambach, we don't have no trouble. All we need is faith in God. We have the blessed life. We got everything. Everything. And what you don't have, guess what? You might get it. Look at me. He does it. When you need it, he'll give it to you. Everything is his. What are you worried for? So you need to come. You need to lay down that all that stuff. Come. And you know what I'm praying? That what excites me when I hear testimony, what turned my life around, even though I grew up in a good home, nice people loved me, cared for me, but I still knew I need something. I need peace. I need Jesus when I'm going to have a test or when I come upon people who are not nice, how to deal with that, not to get scared and just shrink. And you see how God did now? Years ago, I remember my grandfather sent me to the truck to get him something. He said, not the truck. He sent me to the supermarket to get him wedge cheese. Some of you know about it. And I went and I got the wrong thing. But when I went, I ran into these kids. And they threatened me that they were going to take my money. And I was so scared to go back downstairs of my own apartment building. And look at God today. He puts me right in the face of thieves. You know what I told you. Different ones that you might not want to be bothered with or afraid of them. But it's okay, because that's what God can do. You see, I welcome the thieves. It's okay. I could tell them, I have run into them too years ago. And I said to the guy, you know what? I don't have much money here. Take the $2. And then we're fussing with each other, take it or not take it. I said, take it. You wanted it, take it. He goes, no, I can't. I always run into the wrong people. I say, because God doesn't want you to do that. That's why. I said, you don't have to do that. I said, all you have to do, go to my church. I thought my church have everything. But now today I would say to him, come to the Lord Jesus. Ask him to help you. He will give you so much you don't need to ask nobody for nothing. Just trust him. He will give you everything. So if you're here today, it's exactly 12, and you want to come. You have some time. If you do, come. Stay as long or as short as you like, and God will meet you here. They're playing I Surrender All to Jesus, my precious Savior. I surrender. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Well, I appreciate that. That word this morning, I thought I was going to hear something about sheep, and I just feel like I got hit with a left hook about God's care for us and his love for us and destiny and what he's provided for us and what he's called us to, and I hope that ministered to you as well. And just take it to heart. Sister Pat's going to be here praying, and if you'd like to fellowship, just carry that elsewhere. The shower is going to be immediately following, but take this word to heart and respond to it. And I'll just pray for us all as we're dismissed. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, the truth that is Christ, and what you've shared with us today. I pray, Father, that we would not only hear it, but we would do it. Lord, we would be people that respond to you and to your voice, and we would be people that run away from the things that want to draw our hearts away from you. And Lord, as we've heard today from the beginning to the end, Jesus, that you've called us to come to yourself, and that you've provided and made a way for it to happen. You've prepared a destiny for us to rise up and walk in. And I pray that we would respond to your word today and to walk in that and hear your voice and know you by your grace, for your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you, Father.